is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this March 19th, 2026. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds not the back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on a gorgeous Thursday afternoon here in the Auburn and Opelika area. You just got done hearing our friend Doug Amos, who is on the station every day, but was only on in Auburn today, and we were running that here out of the studio, so we appreciate him and everybody for making that possible. But you got us for the next 2 hours here on ESPN 106.7. The NCAA tournament is underway. The first game of the day, it delivered with Ohio State and TCU. My pick of Troy was terrible, and it did not come to fruition by any means. And, man, we got some good ones going on right now. Louisville blowing out South Florida. Wisconsin has completely fallen apart against High Point. And the number one team in the tournament, Duke, has just tipped off against Siena. So we're going to talk all about the NCAA tournament today. Plus, we have three guests on the show this afternoon, two regulars and one coming in to talk about the Vols, unfortunately. But we'll tell you more about that as we go. Christian, happy Thursday. Happy day one of the NCAA tournament, my friend.
Happy March. It feels like finally March is finally here. And man, oh man, does it feel good to still be perfect. One of the 43% to go with the Horned Frogs. I told everybody to do it. Between TCU, Arizona State, and UCF, there was going to be a run somewhere in there. With one of those three teams, may not be a run with TCU based off of how they look today, but they silenced Bruce Thornton well enough to get a win that was stress-free, right? I mean, had a big-time lead at halftime, didn't blow it whatsoever, didn't have to come back from behind and make a double contested layup with 3 seconds left. And what a beautiful play from Ohio State with 4 seconds left to get to half court. And
yeah, way to go, Bruce.
Have a half court heave to try and win the whole thing. No, we are finally here, man. We got all the games going on right in front of us. We're excited to have a really, really exciting show for you here today. You mentioned it, a couple of guests in there as well. Only 1 hour for me today. We have a doubleheader. Not a doubleheader, but back-to-backs for Lee Scott Academy with last night and then the makeup game from Monday afternoon getting moved to today. And so only 1 hour of me. Trip, you can play the Cheers hotkey if you have that here for you a little bit. But no, excited to be able to dive in, talk about the March Madness tournament. Really excited to talk about round two of the NIT, which I know we're going to dive
we don't have time today.
And then Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network joining us at 2:30 as he does every single Thursday. Really, really excited for hour number one.
Yeah, there's a ton going on. Again, a lot of guests. But if you want to be a part of the show, we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. If you want to call in, give us your thoughts, how your bracket is doing. I filled out so many this morning, just rapid fire with all the invitations that I got that I had not been able to fill out yet. I just started clicking away, buddy.
So you're happy with every single result?
Pretty much, other than if Duke were to lose this game to Siena. Other than that, I'm covered somewhere in some bracket, in some pool. I've sent about 8 different Venmos today. I'm invested, and my goodness, I hope I can win somewhere, because if not, That's a lot of money down the drain. But it's exciting. It's fun. We're also in with our bracket, Basketball Mayhem, that is live right now at ESPNAU.com. Wonderful sponsors making that possible. So, yeah, give us a call, 334-321-1390. Or you could shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And, yeah, we mentioned it, TCU, technically the first upset of the tournament in terms of seeding.
Yeah.
And there's the old 9 seed beating the 8 seed again. They've won more times than the 8 seed has historically in the NCAA tournament. It's crazy how that goes. I was talking with Doug earlier on his show. I love, and they do it for obvious reasons, I love that the tournament starts with that 8-9 matchup, the coin flip matchup, and doesn't get any closer than what we saw in that one. And man, Troy, I don't know what happened there. Nebraska's pretty darn good offensively. Troy just had nothing. I mean, their best player got hurt early and never really recovered from that, did the Troy Trojans. And congrats to Nebraska. They're now 1-8 all time in the NCAA tournament. They were the only power conference team to never have a win in the NCAA tournament. That changes today for the Cornhuskers. 76-47 over Troy.
Good thing they're not playing them next year with the Fighting Hayden Harpers. Otherwise, I told you, my pick would have been changed and it would have been Troy with the reverse score, but not this year. We'll wait until next year. You mentioned, my goodness, what a game it was. Some call it the diaper dandy, as you have to stress every single second of this game. And David Punch did not have a very good first half. And ironically, everybody else did. And then that completely flipped in the second half. David Punch finishes with 16 points, 13 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 blocks in there as well. He had a great second half. TCU as a team did not. They got outscored 40-27, but it's almost like one of those times where you don't necessarily rely on your best free throw shooter to go to the line in crunch time. You go to your best player. You go to the guy with the biggest mentality and the best mentality. And once you hit that under 2-minute mark, they went in the paint twice, went through David Punch. He got a layup on one end, the assist on the other end, and Ohio State can't hit the half court heave to try and win it in regulation.
Oh, no. I'm so sad to see Ohio State lose. Darn. I hate to see the Buckeyes get knocked out of something.
I'm so sorry that your Penn State Nittany Lions didn't accept an NIT bid today.
Penn State wrestling is where it's going to be at. They are currently in the first round of the NCAAs there, so keep an eye on that if you're interested. How about Siena early on? We're 5 minutes in. Do they take the lead? Yes, they do. Here comes Siena. They've got a lead over Duke. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? This will be end up being a 20-point win for Duke, but
sure.
It'll
be one
right
of those
now.
6-point games at halftime or 6-point games.
All the notifications
until the
come
under
through.
Eight. Is Duke in trouble?
Oh, yeah.
And then, no.
Now, a lot of times, though, you do see these 1 seeds, even the 2 seeds, sometimes even the 3 seeds, too, right? In this first game of the tournament, it takes a wake-up call. It takes a punch in the mouth from the Saints of Siena to kind of be like, oh, okay, we can't sleepwalk through this 40 minutes of basketball. Our season's on the line right now.
Well, it's that, and then it's the mix of Duke's coaches understanding that Siena doesn't have 4, 5, 6 different types of offenses that they can run to still have success. It takes 8 minutes or so to figure out, okay, this is what they're running offensively. This is what has been working for them defensively. You've seen Siena run a little bit of a zone here early on. They just switch back to a man. And so interested to see on what happens on that side of things. If you're Siena, I mean, why would you not stick in that zone all game long? Force this Duke team to shoot from the perimeter. Don't let the ball get down low to Boozer, because if it does, you're going to get beat. At least give yourself a fighting chance on the defensive rebounding side of things.
Yeah, this is a fun time. You got 3 games going on right now. It's about to be 4 because McNeese and Vandy,
it's a good game,
are about to tip off. And as I was filling out a lot of my brackets this morning, I found myself picking McNeese a couple of times. Yes, to cover my own you-know-what, but also because, well, you never know. Seems like a lot of people have jumped on the Vanderbilt bandwagon and said, yeah, that team's going on a run as a 5 seed, maybe even an SEC rematch in the Sweet 16. Like, people have jumped on that Vanderbilt team, but I don't know. I mean, yes, they made a run to the SEC or through the SEC tournament. They fell short to Arkansas. I don't know. Maybe they are. Maybe they used everything they had in Nashville. I don't know.
I'm not allowed to give any negative sort of comments because we had those conversations 3 weeks ago about the teams that we trust to make a Sweet 16 run, and Vanderbilt was my one X factor of these are the teams we definitely have confidence in, but I threw Vanderbilt out there as well. And Chris didn't necessarily agree. I don't think you necessarily agreed as well. And so I'll stick to my guns on that side of things and say that Duke Miles and Tyler Tanner, guard play wins in March. I think they have a little run in them.
How about Louisville right now? They're up by 22 on South Florida in the 6-11 game. That is a Louisville team that's without their starting point guard.
Yeah.
Mykael Brown Jr., not just out for this game, he's out the whole weekend. First and second round, if Louisville were to win. Obviously, they're on their way to doing so, if barring a crazy comeback. But, yeah, your starting point guard, one of the most talented point guards in the country, Mykael Brown Jr., out for this game, out for what could be their second round game as well. But Isaac McNeely, rather, has stepped up.
The younger
and,
one.
Yeah, the other one. Liam is at UConn, I believe. Isaac McNeely, 20 points, 6 of 9 from downtown for the Louisville Cardinals. That'll get it done. They're up by 22 with 10 minutes to play.
I will correct you. Liam McNeely is in Charlotte with the Hornets.
He got drafted.
That man played 1 year.
Whoops. Yeah. Said, I remember covering him.
You know what? I'm good.
That dude, he can play, man. He was a really good recruit. But yeah, they're up by 22 is Louisville right now.
Yeah, outscoring the Bulls 29-17 in the second half. This was a close game really up until the under four timeouts in the first half. Louisville went on a little bit of a run to end the first half. South Florida kind of threw that first punch as a lot of these teams do early in the second, but Louisville was able to withstand it. And right now it's a 19-point lead for Louisville. You mentioned it, McNeely and Conwell just doing work right now for the Cards. 20 and 16, 36 between the two of them. They've knocked down 8 of their 16 threes between those two guys. And you talk about that's the definition of guard play winning in March right there.
I need Wisconsin to get it together here, man. You're getting out-rebounded by High Point. You're also being...
Which is wild because they have 7 more shots.
Yeah, you're not being outshot, that's for sure.
What's both the turnover these teams, margin in this
High
game?
Point has shot 26 threes. Is that Auburn in the NIT? They've shot 26 threes already in this game with 12 and a half to go.
No, that's Auburn in the first half.
True. Oh, Wisconsin for the lead? No. I think Wisconsin's undersized in this game. At least on the floor.
Wisconsin only has 5 turnovers.
I don't know what they're doing then.
This math isn't really...
21 of 51 from the floor is not all that impressive from High Point, but yet they're only down by 1. So, I don't know. I have Wisconsin winning in probably almost every bracket that I have.
There it is. 10 to 4 offensive rebounds for the Panthers over the Badgers.
Second chance points. Do you have that?
I can.
To pair with it? Just to see what they've... Have they converted on those offensive rebounds? Wisconsin's just... Dude, they're just gripping and ripping threes. Oh, there's an offensive board for Wisconsin. 2 points. Yes, sir. Back up by 3.
Come on, stats department. Let's get it together.
Yeah. So that game is the good game on right now, deep into the second half.
I'm not a credentialed media member for Wisconsin High Point stat broadcast, and so...
Oh, I guess for March Madness or the NCAA tournament, you have to be... That's stupid. I'm sure there's a code, and we could find out what it is. Someone texted in and said, South Florida's coach should have been more worried about Louisville rather than beating up on other coaches for looking at his players.
No way there's drama in college basketball once the tournament gets here, right?
No, not at all.
Speaking of drama in the tournament, last night with Miami of Ohio and SMU, I know we're going to break down that game here in a little bit, but how ironic was it that SMU stumbled their way through the regular season, stumbled their way in the ACC tournament, and was on the bubble for the selection committee, but told everybody, hey, our top guy who gives us 20 points a game is going to play. He's going to be just fine. SMU makes March Madness, makes the tournament, and then 2 hours before the game, sorry, we wanted to let you know that that ankle is not good to go. He's out for at least this game and could be out for the entire season.
Yeah, I heard he was out for the year.
Yeah.
And
but the fact that that is one of the metrics that you feel like genuinely goes into everything, and not even in basketball. I mean, when you go back a decade and then some to the 4-team college football playoff, right, with Florida State, and how that all of a sudden made it to where, or I guess that was when it started. Never mind.
I was about to say, it wasn't that long ago.
That made me feel really old. Yeah, no, yeah. That was when the four teams started. Mm-hmm. But the first time it went from 4-10 or 4-12 with Florida State's and their injury to Jordan Travis, you feel like that's one of those metrics that it's like you understand it, I guess, but the fact that that's not a number, that is the definition of we're judging off of vibes, we're judging off of what we feel like is going to make it better rather than the conversation that we've had over the past couple of days and the past couple of weeks of if you're going to use the analytics, don't pick and choose which ones you choose to look at.
Well, there just needs to be a fine line or a not even a fine line. There needs to be a drawn line. There needs to be a standard of the selection committee for football and basketball and whatever. Do you or do you not take injuries into consideration? And I don't know why we're debating it. They've always done this, right? They've always taken injuries into consideration of a team making or missing postseason play. You can agree or disagree with it, think it's fair or not. I don't think it is, but it is what it is. They've always done it, though, right? But then at that point, once you allow personal opinion to impact a team in the selection process, you open yourself up to a world of criticism and things. And what I mean by that is if you have no personal opinion, it's truly based off of numbers, resume, things like that, you should take all the logos off. You should take all the names off. You should take all of that. It's just a bunch of black and white names. And team A, team B, team C, and so on and so forth, and select teams that way. But the moment that you say, yeah, well, their best player twisted his ankle.
There it is. But.
Exactly. But. There he is. He's made an appearance today. They didn't look good in that quarterfinal game of their SEC tournament, or
they lost three of their last four in the regular season.
Exactly.
Going back to the exact conversation
once you
we have with Auburn.
One opinion to be used, then you can use any opinion that you want. But it's almost like selection committees in football and basketball. And I mentioned this to Doug earlier. Why is it that college athletics are the only ones that give into this crap? Professional sports don't have this. There's no debate. The Seahawks made the playoffs. Why? Because they earned it, right?
Yeah, you have it in week 12 of every single road that can happen for certain teams to still make the playoffs.
But why have we... Sorry, I know why. Because, we've always done it this way. So why would we make changes? Get off my lawn. Right? That's how people act with college athletics, and I think it's idiotic. But it's almost like selection committees aren't there to put the best teams in, most deserving teams in, or make the best crown champions, right? They don't give a crap. They don't care on crowning the champion. They're there for entertainment. They're there to make intriguing matchups. They're there to have us sit here and watch all these games and talk about these games and fill out brackets. That's their job.
And you want to know how we know that? Because one of the main things that's talked about every single year is making sure that they don't have repeat matchups in the first round. NC State and Texas played in Maui this year.
Yeah, that's not your job.
And that was the very first game that we got to watch.
Your job is to seed them where they belong and what they earned from the regular season and or conference tournaments. But yet, you allowed SMU to lie about their injury status of their best player, back their way into the tournament where they didn't belong, and then say, oops, sorry, forgot about that. And then good. Thank God for Miami of Ohio for beating them the way that they did, because SMU didn't deserve to be there anyway. They definitely didn't deserve to win that game.
What a game it was for Miami of Ohio. We're going to dive into that and a whole lot more. You look at what Louisville's doing right now. South Florida on a little bit of a run, down to 14 as soon as we mentioned the Cardinals.
Yeah, well, that's a good South Florida team. That's a team that scores a lot of points this season. Look at what they've done down the stretch. That's a team that had won, my goodness, 3, 6, 9, 11 games coming into the tournament. They had won 14 of their last 15 games coming into the tournament. 86, 83, 96, 90, 87, 109. Like, that's a South Florida team that can get up and go, man. And they're going to try and do so against Louisville again without their starting point guard. Louisville was up by as many as 22. It's down to 13 with 8.5 to play. We'll talk more. NCAA tournament. If we find time, which I have a feeling we won't, we'll talk NIT as well. But I guess we'll see if we can, you know, etch out 30 seconds or so. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We're just underway here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
This is Coach Stephen Pearl, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on ESPN 106.7, the Thursday edition of On the Line. Phone lines are open for the next couple of minutes if you want to be a part of the show. 334-321-1390. Games going on right now in the NCAA tournament, the first day of the tournament. How about Siena? We're only 8 minutes in, but a 6-point lead over the number one overall seed, Duke Blue Devils, 22-16. Also, Wisconsin starting to pull away just a little bit from High Point, 69-61, 7.5 to play there. And then South Florida trying to come back, down by, I saw 22. Was that confirmed the largest lead that Louisville had was 22? Was 22 points against South Florida?
It was 23.
Yeah. Golly, 23. So down by 11. So trying to make a hell of a comeback there.
Yeah, it's crazy. You go on you're down 23, you go on a big-time run, you're still 1 point down in the second half, and you're still down 11. It's a little bit of a shot in the heart as I believe that Louisville is about to go to the free throw line. You also look a little bit below, towards the bottom half of the bracket. McNeese up 13-5 over Vanderbilt 4 minutes into that contest
as well. Yeah, that's the 12-5. Could we see our first 12-5 upset? It's the first 12-5 game of the day.
Because we did not pick any of them.
Oh, it's not the first one. 12-5 High Point Wisconsin's a 12-5 matchup as well.
Was it the 13? Was it 13-4 or was it 12-5, the one that we were talking about? There's always one. I believe it's the 12-5.
12-5, oh yeah.
But neither of us picked one. Yeah, but we didn't do it.
Yeah.
We went chalk, at least in our major brackets. I don't know how many of the 800 you picked.
I don't McNeese know. I literally couldn't keep up, man. I was click on one, sign up, send a Venmo, fill it out. Click on one,
sign up. Were they not all in the same...
You would think.
Oh, okay.
No. There was like four different applications that
I was going to say, because if that's the case, you can just click join group.
Yeah, yeah. Believe me, that would have been awesome. But no, no.
I hit my under of what the usual line is. I made one bracket this year, and that's the one that people listen to, heard. It's the one that you see on ESPNAU.com in our Mayhem Challenge, the one you see in all of our groups. One winner, one bracket.
Sienna's up by 10. 26-16 Siena over Duke.
It's okay. Here comes the run. Get it down low.
How about a turnover?
Never mind.
How about a Duke turnover? That's phenomenal.
Spin the wheel. Can I buy a turnover, please?
This would be... What was the spread on this game when it tipped? Siena, what was the official betting line spread?
I'm going to be real. I don't know if there truly was.
Surely you have to in an NCAA tournament game. Those the live odds? Oh, no.
It closed at 28.5.
28.5. It's currently 12.5. Duke is down by 10 and still favored to win by 12.5 points. That's crazy. They were four touchdown underdogs, and they're up by 10.
Their current money line is minus 1,400.
Siena. Oh, okay. Well, heat check airballed the three. Nice.
All right, we're back.
We're back. Yep, we are so back. By the way, we have Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network coming up in just a couple of minutes. We will be talking to him about a little bit of Auburn basketball. Want to hit heavy Auburn baseball with him because he's going to be on the call this weekend for Auburn baseball versus Texas in the biggest, highest-ranked matchup in the history of Plainsman Park for 3 games in a row. Excited for what that is going to be. We will have... Brad join us for that, see how his bracket is doing as well. Then a fun guest coming in at 3 o'clock to the studio to talk a little basketball. Also, one of our proud sponsors and partners here at Auburn Network will be with us. And then Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC at 3:30. So a lot going on over the next hour and a half.
There will be. And then right after that, you can just flip over to Tiger Country 104.5.
You can.
Lee Scott, Montgomery Catholic doing battle here this afternoon. We tried getting it done for the Auburn family, the Auburn High family last night. Started out really hot. It was 3-0 or 3-1 Lee Scott Academy, but one of those pesky teams that you just let hang around, and Central Phoenix City walks off the Warriors last night. And so baseball is baseball, and thankfully there's no time to harp on it. You get another chance against another really, really good team in Montgomery Catholic here this afternoon, 11-3. And for any Lee Scott faithful that are listening on the radio, following the varsity game, let the little kids come run the bases. Have a good little time in between the varsity and the JV game with our Kids Run the Bases event. So should be a whole lot of fun. I might have to stick around and just announce that one over the air of who's going to be the winner.
Yeah, there's a lot going on with our high school coverage over the next several days. You've got Lee Scott baseball tonight. Auburn High softball is at Glenwood. They're in Phoenix City tonight over on 96.3 W Lee. Jack Hutton will have the call there. And then I'm on the air tomorrow for Auburn High Baseball. Doubleheader against Thompson at home. Top five team in the state coming in. And if that's not good enough for you, we've got another top five team in the state on Saturday morning with Hoover coming in at 10 a.m., followed by Marist out of Georgia on Saturday afternoon. All those games on 96.3 W Lee.
I know that Marist location rather well near the Atlanta area. You're basically the Duke Blue Devils, man. You're getting all these games at home.
Yeah, somehow.
I don't know.
Yeah, somehow.
What strings you pulled in next year, man. My goodness, you
may not have a home game next year.
You may not have a non-area home game.
Yeah, so a lot going on with our high school coverage. Of course, we're on location tomorrow here on ESPN 106.7. We're going to be at the Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge, brought to you by Sensegreen Heating, Cooling, and Insulation. We'll tell you more about it, but Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network joins us next.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. Some updates from the NCAA tournament before we get to the phone line. Siena trying to bust every bracket in America. They are up 31-22 over the number one overall seed Duke Blue Devils with 7.5 to play in the first half. Wisconsin trying to fend off High Point. 5-point lead for the Badgers. 4.5 minutes to play in the second half. McNeese is off and running to an 11-point lead over Vanderbilt in the 12-5 matchup, and Louisville still hanging on to a 9-point lead over South Florida with 4.5 to play. Let's get to the phone lines and welcome in our first guest of the day. He's with us every Thursday at 2:30. He is Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. My friend, it is good to have you on. I know it's a busy time, and you are excited for what happens this weekend at Plainsman Park, huh?
Yeah, we got the highest-rated series ever in Auburn baseball history coming in. Tigers at number 4 and climbing. Texas at number 2, and 18-2 on the year, and it's just going to be wonderful. And weather is going to be perfect, it looks like, and the marketing folks and the game day operations, fan experience have gone all out preparing for this weekend. It will be a regional or super regional type atmosphere for the first home series in SEC play.
Yeah, it seems that's the expectation, and hopefully, and all we can hope for really is that the baseball delivers with all the hype going into it. And we will talk about that series here in our conversation, but up to this point, I mean, Brad, you've been either on the call or around Auburn baseball for quite some time. Can you remember a season that has started like this with the wins that this team has and the way that they're doing it and just the all-around performances? Can you guys remember a season that has started quite like this with even the hype we had in the preseason?
No, I can't. And I think the point you make there at the end is the point that's worth emphasizing is kind of like the basketball team did last year, where they were expected to go to the Final Four and they did it. This baseball team, now we're not to the end of the year yet, but you know, teams over the last decade or so, maybe they were picked lower in the conference and they overachieved. This team's trying to match the expectations, and so far, I think they've done it. I mean, if you said Auburn was going to be sitting here with an 11-game winning streak and, you know, 18-2 at this point in the year, I don't know if that was – I don't know how many people would have signed up for those odds, even with the high expectations at the beginning of the season. So, no is the short answer. And then we've got 9 weeks to go in conference play. We're looking at the schedule earlier today with Texas this weekend, and Arkansas is coming in, and Georgia is coming in later this year. Oklahoma will be here. That's another top 25 matchup. Kentucky, a top 25 matchup. This is the place to be over the next couple of months. This, you know, weekends in Auburn, like every other weekend, you're going to want to be here for these baseball games.
Brad, you mentioned that win streak continuing into double digits and continuing on thanks to a dominant win over Georgia Tech in the midweek. The Tigers win it 9-2 and hold one of the best, if not the best, offense in the entire country up to this point to 2 runs on 3 hits, no extra base hits. What did you see from Butch Thompson's squad over the midweek?
Just dynamic pit. Andreas Alvarez in the midweek continues to dazzle, and I don't think we're giving him enough credit still. Because he struggles for an inning to really lock it in. And we're not talking about driving off the road. We're just talking about, you know, just trying to stay steady. And then when he does, he's not touchable most of the time after that one inning. And it was the case in the first inning again against Georgia Tech, a couple of walks, and they scored a run, and it was an errant throw that led to it. It was an unearned run. Over Dre's last 40 2/3 innings going back to last year, which include appearances in a super regional, a regional, and in SEC games, he's given up 3 earned runs in 40 2/3 innings. That's ridiculous. So that started it. And then Chatterton and L.J. Cormier, these guys don't look like it's just their second. And in L.J.'s case, first year with the program, L.J. looks better in every time out. So it starts with the pitching again in the midweek, just as it has. You know, that's been the headline story for this team. It was again the story in the midweek, and then they were able to put together a big inning and kind of seal it. Rembert getting some power back, that was one of the big takeaways from Monday, starting to be able to put just fully load on that ankle, and or unload as the case was Tuesday night on his first home run of the year. So just this team's identity is pretty well set at this point in the year, and that's a good thing.
Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network with us on the phone lines here on ESPN 106.7, and believe that the start from Alvarez was the 10th straight by an Auburn pitcher. Again, 10th straight start that a starting pitcher for Auburn has allowed less than 1 earned run. I mean, that people don't really understand how ridiculous that stat is, Brad.
Yeah, Jacob, I've not looked in the notes deep enough to see that stat. That's remarkable, probably worth repeating. That doesn't happen. That just doesn't happen in college baseball. And so if you're looking for the number one reason why Auburn is having the success that it's had, that's absolutely, it starts there.
And Brad, you now mention it, you look towards this weekend, Auburn and Texas, two of the top teams in the entire country. And if Auburn is number one in pitching duties, Texas is probably right in there at number two or number three. It's going to be an absolutely electric series. And more just your thoughts on where Auburn is right now. And you mentioned the Auburn fans, of where you need to be at Plainsman Park. I mean, it fires me up. It fires us up to be able to sit here and talk about Plainsman Park being the perennial site for college baseball, not only this week, but throughout the entire slates of SEC play.
Yeah, you're right. And another example this weekend, these are two pitching staffs that are worthy of top five rankings in the country, top four, maybe even top two. This could be 1 versus 2 this weekend. And, you know, there's a lot of pride with these two staffs that are going at it this weekend. Let me give you the stats on Texas starters. Dylan Volantis, who was the freshman of the year in the league last year as a closer, all he's done transitioning into a starting role, 3-0 with a 1.53 earned run average, 40 strikeouts in 29 1/3 innings. Okay, Now, he's not the Friday guy. The Friday guy is Ruger Riojas. He's 4-0 with a 205. Get these numbers. 50 strikeouts in 26 and a third. He's almost averaging two strikeouts per inning through 26 and change. And then the other is Luke Harrison, their Sunday guy. All he's done is go 2-0 with a 219 earned run average. So this is a team ERA of 267. And if you can bear a couple of more numbers, they have a guy who gave up three earned runs without recording an out. That inflates their earned run average. If you take out the only appearance by that guy this year, their team ERA is 2.5.
Jeez.
That's ridiculous. So they're led by their pitching. Auburn has been led by its pitching. It is going to be an amazing clash. It's, you know, each team has that strong right hook. Who has the better left cross? Who's got the best? Whose offense can put together a crooked inning? I think that's the difference in these games this weekend.
Brad, we debated this question at the end of our show yesterday, and I'd love to get your thoughts before we talk a little basketball and get you out of here. We talk every season, right, and every weekend in SEC play. If you're at home, the idea is to get two out of three. If you're on the road, win one, survive, and move on. With this being a home series this weekend, but with the magnitude of the matchup and this being clearly the best team that Auburn has seen up to this point, it will be one of the best they see all season long. Is the mindset still to get two? Is it still to win this series? Or if you get one and move on, is that good enough to suffice moving through the rest of SEC play in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tiered answer, Jacob. It's a really good question, and I would say there's a tiered answer to it. Here today, as we talk on Thursday, and before game one of the series, their mission is to win series, and that's what you want to do. And the worst thing you can do is change something because of the numbers beside the opponent's name or the number beside your winning streak, or like you got where you got by following a plan, and there's no reason whatsoever to change the plan. You know, if you take the same route to work every day and it gets you there on time, never late, never any issues, never traffic backed up, never nothing, why would you change it? You keep doing what you're doing. Now, with that said, you're still early enough in the year, both these teams. You know, Texas is going to come in and they're going to want to win the series. But let's say Auburn sweeps. They'd like to get one on the road. But even if Auburn sweeps, that doesn't derail what Texas wants to do this year. They're still going to be a top five caliber team. So you're still early enough in the season that the results of this, like, there's so much more to be gained by winning the series than there is lost by losing it. But, man, as we sit here on Thursday and as they get ready to start this series tomorrow, yeah, you win the series. That is – they're trying to sweep the series before you play game one. And I think you stick with winning the series. That's the goal for the weekend.
Brad, looking over towards football real quick before we hit on basketball. Spring practice underway, started a couple of days ago. You now have day one and day two. There's some notes that are coming out that people are over-dramatizing and over-talking about, but just your thoughts on the excitement for Auburn spring practice and Coach Golish getting these guys underway.
Yeah, demand versus asked for. That was one of the things that stood out from Xavier Atkins, the leader of the defense, talking about the coaching staff day one of practice. And he said, you know, where previously they would ask for your best, this group is demanding it. Things like Alex Golish. Let me tell you what stood out the most from Alex Golish speaking on Tuesday. I know you guys have talked about a lot since then, but the fact that Coach Golish said that the last couple of periods were sloppy on day one. Like, y'all remember day one of college classes. Would any professor have ever held you to a standard where they said day one was sloppy? No, day one's day one. You get through it. Most coaches say, you know, they were deers in headlights and they're drinking from a fire hose and their heads were spinning. And that wasn't the expectation for Alex Golish and the staff. Their expectation was to have it all buttoned up from start to finish. But then who did he put the accountability to? His coaches. He said, we've got to coach through that. And then later he talked about his coaches saying, what you allow becomes your culture. And so he's holding the coaches accountable to then go hold the players accountable. The organization, the attention to detail, the expectation that it's all done at a certain level, all of it stood out to me Tuesday and fired me up, frankly, even more to see what they're going to do throughout spring and as we head toward the season.
And we'll cap off the triple header conversation here talking Auburn basketball as they are continuing to play. They win on Tuesday night, late Tuesday night in the NIT against South Alabama. Trailed by six at the half, but a bunch of made threes later, they come away with a nice win. They'll play again on Sunday afternoon, 5:30 tip scheduled inside of Neville Arena against Seattle. Obviously, a little bit of a different looking team with the opt-outs and different guys playing and such. Your thoughts on what happened Tuesday and what Auburn can build on and try to achieve Sunday afternoon?
It was really surreal for anyone in the building. I don't know how many people thought this, but from sitting in the building, it was it almost didn't feel real for the first half. We're so used to seeing that. The standard has changed so dramatically. It's weird today for Auburn not to be in the NCAA tournament. It was weird Tuesday night to see the NIT logo on the video board and on the floor, and you know, to be playing a game in an arena that wasn't full. And I think the team kind of played like it was finding itself for the first half. And then they locked in, and then they were terrific in the second half. And, you know, you kind of survive and advance early on. And with each one of these games now, the prize gets a little more real, and it's a little easier to digest. Okay, this is where we are. You'd rather be in the big dance. You're not. They're still going to give away a trophy at the end of this. Let's go get it. And I think that's the mindset going into the game Sunday, late afternoon, evening. I expect a better crowd for Sunday than you'd ever get for a Tuesday 9 p.m. game that was announced 48 hours prior. So I'm excited to see that. And again, as the team continues to win, I think you see more and more enthusiasm for the run.
Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network is with us every Thursday, 2:30 here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Up to this point, Brad, plug it all. Tell the people what they know or what they need to know, what we know. Again, up to this point, I know there's some moving around and some finalizing of things, but tell the people what's going on between now and the next time we talk to you.
Yeah, well, first of all, Siena's up 11 on Duke still. I think Duke is going to come back and win by double digits, but that's not what you asked. Okay, so tonight, Tiger Talk, Baumhauer's Victory Grill. Come out and join us. We're going to talk track and field. In case you missed it, Auburn has two new national champions on the track and field side of things, and we're going to talk with those guys tonight at Baumhauer's Victory Grill. Gabe Gross is coming to talk baseball and the big top five matchup against Texas. Stephen Pearl will be with us for the first half of the show tonight to recap the NIT win and look ahead to Seattle on Sunday. So we've got that all tonight starting at 6 over on Wings 94.3. We'll tell you everything you need to know from there through the weekend, but know that baseball will be on Wings all weekend long, basketball Sunday right here on ESPN 106.7.
Brad, we appreciate it as always. Enjoy watching the games the rest of the day. Enjoy this weekend. Soak it in as best as you can, okay?
You got it, guys. My pleasure. War Eagle.
War Eagle. That's Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Again, he's with us every Thursday, 2:30, here on ESPN 106.7. He'll be there for Tiger Talk tonight. Of course, the baseball games this weekend. And as he said, baseball, Wings 94.3, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Auburn basketball and the NIT will be right here on ESPN 106.7 on Sunday afternoon. And we are not going to break until the last 11.7 seconds of the High Point Wisconsin game are played. These two teams have just caught fire down the stretch. Believe High Point has made 7 of their last 8. Wisconsin has made 5 of their last 6. High Point, 83. Wisconsin, 82. 11.7 on the clock. Wisconsin just gave up a wide-open breakaway layup. Here come the Badgers. Do they go quick or do they hold for the final shot? They're going to go quick. That's smart. Still no shot for Wisconsin. Still no shot for Wisconsin. Layup is blocked for Wisconsin. High Point rebound, foul with a second to go.
Holy cow.
Oh my gosh. Do we have the first true upset of the tournament? The 12 seed High Point over the 5 seed Wisconsin. 83-82, 1.6 to play. Oh, my goodness. Not like this, Wisconsin.
For real.
Oh, dude, that's a Wisconsin team. They were playing such good basketball. They were playing so good, man. Not even in this game. I'm talking just the regular season.
Oh, Nick Boyd was playing like one of the best point guards in the country, but he just had two drives that were both swatted, And my goodness, what an ending this is possibly setting up to being. 1.6 doesn't appear that they're putting any more time on the clock either, so it's going to come with any additional time. You're going to have free throws. Oh, no, they did. They added another half second, and so Wisconsin does have a timeout.
High Point has shot 40 threes in this game.
15 of 40.
Good Lord. 43s, 74 shots from the floor. Good Lord. Free throws coming for High Point. Wisconsin will have the basketball coming out of it. Oh, my God. I know we're so late. We have to get the break. Cameron Fletcher, what a guy. 73% free throw shooter. At the line, 1-1. He clanked it.
Oh, no.
Here we go.
We might as well take a quick break.
Yeah, we're going to run out of time. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back, wrap up hour number one. If you're not watching it for whatever reason, we'll tell you why Wisconsin hits this buzzer beater right after this.
This is Amber from Amber and Ian. You're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrap it up. Hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Wisconsin did, in fact, not make a buzzer beater. They didn't even get a shot off. They went for the home run pass. They had 2 seconds to do it, and it was stolen. And High Point, the first big upset of the tournament, belongs to a 12 seed, and High Point gets it done. They take down Wisconsin. How about the Panthers from High Point? They get it done. My goodness. Well, there goes any perfect bracket for me. I had Wisconsin in most of mine, unfortunately. High Point 83, Wisconsin 82. Also, again, TCU taking down Ohio State by 2. Nebraska just slaughtered Troy this morning, unfortunately. Games going on right now in the NCAA tournament. Siena with an 11-point lead over Duke at the half. That is the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament, down by 11 through the first 20 minutes. McNeese jumped out to a big double-digit lead over Vanderbilt in another 12-5 matchup, but Vanderbilt has stormed back, only down by 3 with 5 minutes to play in the first half. 28-25, McNeese leads Vanderbilt, and South Florida has come back, but I think it's going to fall short. With 5 seconds to play, Louisville leads by 4. They were up by as many as 23 in that game, so man, South Florida's going to be kicking themselves. Louisville looks like they're going to hang on, and the 6-seeded Cardinals going to move on to the second round. North Dakota State, Michigan State tips off here in about 10 minutes. Arkansas and Hawaii will tip off at 3:25 as well. We're going to talk about those games. Plus, a special guest joins us in the studio. He wants to talk about Tennessee for some reason, so I guess we'll let him do it. Plus, a cool event going on in town this weekend. Also, Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC joins us as well. All that coming up in hour number two.
An Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. No Christian Griffin. 2 days in a row that he's decided to take off work early. He says he's calling baseball, but I guess we'll have to tune in on Tiger Country 104.5 and find out. No, he's on his way over there right now. Warriors taking on Montgomery Catholic today. They've got a game coming up in a little over an hour, so be sure to check on that 4:30 there for Lee Scott and Montgomery Catholic on the Lee Scott Sports Network. We're Tiger Country 104.5, and so you and me for hour number two here, in a ton to go over. But if you missed any of the first hour, we talked all things basketball. Of course, with the NCAA tournament going on right now, we got our first major upset. High Point, the 12 seed, takes down Wisconsin, the 5, as the Panthers take down the Badgers, and brackets have been busted everywhere. A lot of people said they predicted it, so we talked about that, plus all the other games that have already happened, that are currently happening. Plus, we talked to Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network and got a big deep dive and preview of Auburn baseball versus Texas this weekend, the biggest ranked matchup in the history of Plainsman Park. So all of that was in hour number one. If you missed it, check out the podcast version of the show. You'll find it on our station website at ESPNAU.com. Here in hour number two, we're going to have our guy Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, will join us at 3:30, as he always does, get his takeaways from what's going on in the NCAA tournament. Not a ton of SEC teams in action early today, but they are getting started. Vanderbilt currently in action. You have Arkansas, who's coming up later. Texas will play tonight. A&M plays tonight. Georgia plays tonight as well. So we'll talk to Chris Gordy about all things SEC. But joining us in the studio to start hour number two, this guy's a fan of an SEC team, and they wear orange, just the wrong shade of him. Our man Brody Thomas is in the studio. He's the general manager of one of our great partners here at Auburn Network. He is the GM over at Winter Timber Outdoors. My man, it is so good to see you. Hope everything is well.
Man, everything is great. Glad to be here. Beautiful weather, finally. You know,
finally.
Got a little chilly this weekend, but it's warm back up. It finally feels like spring. We got the tournament on. Baseball's rolling. Best time of the year.
Yeah.
You can't beat it.
Yeah. I mean, that was hunting weather, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and that 100%. You prefer to hunt in the cold, right?
Of course. Of course. Yes.
I mean, that's what I like too. But then people start yelling at me, it's too cold for March. It's like, I mean, the fact that it snowed, tornado, and now it's back up to nearly 80 degrees is pretty crazy.
It happens every year.
Yeah.
You know, if you live down here long enough, you're used to it.
You'll figure it out. Well, man, it's good to see you. And again, you guys are doing such great things over at Winter Timber Outdoors. If there are hunters around, and I know turkey season is in full swing and getting going, and if anybody is interested in finding that, or your next firearm, pocket knife, or just nice clothing, you can go check them out. Winter Timber Outdoors, they're over there across from the mall next to neighborhood, the Walmart neighborhood market. So go check them out. They're right around the corner from where we are. Seems like everything is going well. Big event coming up this weekend we're going to talk about, but your thoughts on what's happening so far in the NCAA tournament?
Somehow I picked that 5-12. You know, there's always that one. And for some reason, I just I didn't trust Wisconsin, so I went with High Point. Unfortunately, I did go with South Florida as well.
That game got
to see
ugly.
That upset there.
Yeah.
But, that one got out of hand. You know, South Florida tried to make a run there late, but Louisville just had too much for them.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good South Florida team.
Really,
they're good
is.
Offensively. They just, again, they got down by 23 points. You can't expect to come back in the tournament if you get down by that many.
Yeah, and especially, you know, with Louisville having some injuries, I was like, man, well, this South Florida team, they're a good team. You know, and that was just kind of one of the more popular 11-6 picks across the country, and I went with it, but South Florida let me down in that one.
Yeah, and then, of course, Troy, just not enough to hang with Nebraska earlier today. Cornhuskers get their first ever NCAA tournament win, the final power conference team to get an NCAA tournament win. Only two games going on right now are at halftime. Siena over Duke, 43-32. I'm going to go out on a limb, Brody, and say you did not pick Siena to get it done over the number one overall seed.
No, unfortunately, I did not. I did not, but I did see where I think this is the first lead that a 16 seed has had over the number one overall seed going into the half in tournament history.
Really? So, wow.
We might be on to something here.
Might be on. We've got some history brewing right now between the Siena Saints and the Duke Blue Devils. Again, that one at the half. Siena leading by 11. Vanderbilt, after getting off to a tough start against McNeese, they've come all the way back to take a three-point lead into the half. But it's well known here on our station. Again, you guys are a great great partner with us at the Auburn Network. And Brody, it's known that you're a Tennessee guy. How'd you feel about the Vols wrapping up? We didn't talk for a few days after Tennessee beat us in the SEC tournament, but a sixth seed in the tournament. You cool with that? You feel pretty good?
I mean, with the results of the games, I feel, we could have been right there, five or six. You look at the metrics, I mean, everything says you're a four seed, but this team has just got to figure out ways to win games. I mean, the multiple double-digit leads, twice against Kentucky, did it against Alabama, did it a few more times. I think we're 16th in KenPom. So metrics, everything looks like a low three, high four seed, but this team's just got to figure out how to finish out games.
And, yeah.
It's going to be a fun test tomorrow with Miami of Ohio.
You're not nervous, are you? Not nervous about Miami?
I'm really not. I think it's a great matchup for us. I know that they're hot from three right now, but we're 22nd in the country defending the three, so I feel like we can get out there on them a little bit better than SMU was able to. I just think our big guys are going to have a field day. I mean, our three big guys should dominate. And if they do that the way I think they're going to, it should be a comfortable win. I think the spread on that one's 11.5 at the moment.
Yep.
But again, it's March. Who knows?
Yeah, and that one being played in Philadelphia, I'm surprised you didn't just, take off work and go and make a trip to Philly, PA.
Yeah, I almost, with my dad being the team bus driver, I almost just hopped a ride on the bus and went up there with him.
You should have.
But unfortunately, I've got other obligations here, and so I will be watching on the television tomorrow.
Yeah, well, that one thing with Tennessee here, and again, phone lines are open here in hour number two. If you want to be a part of the show, we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We got our guy Brody Thomas, the general manager of Winter Timber Outdoors, in the studio. We're going to talk about some great things they have going on here in just a moment. We're talking basketball right now. The thing with Tennessee, they just got to get over the March hump, man. Right. Rick Barnes and this Tennessee team, they're always good. Okay. They're always competitive. Right. They've always got a couple of dudes. They just always seem to fall short of the expectations.
Yeah, I mean, it's like every time you look up past several years, there we are, Elite Eight. We're there again, but fall short right there. Mm-hmm. And this team, I think, has got the pieces, to make a dark horse run. Being a six seed, it's just a matter of do those pieces get put together in time to be able to do that. That's yet to be seen. With Ament and Gillespie, like I said, the big guys down low, if we can get a couple more scoring options outside of those two, I think we'll be fine. It's just a matter of does that happen or not.
Yeah, Tennessee in the bottom right-hand portion of the bracket in the Midwest. How about four SEC teams in one portion of the bracket?
It could get fun in that one.
Very well. Yes. Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Kentucky, who I don't trust worth anything.
Either.
If they were, and I said this, if Kentucky was playing anybody other than Santa Clara, I would pick the other team to beat Kentucky 10 times out of 10.
Right. I agree. Yeah, that team is and I say that with them beating us twice this year, but again, we had double-digit leads against them both times we played them. Mm-hmm. But outside of, them versus Tennessee, and they're up and down kind of like we are, but I really don't trust them to get very far.
Yeah, Tennessee versus Miami of Ohio. Winner of that gets either Virginia or the Raiders of Wright State. Alabama just above you. Texas Tech is in there. Of course, that's the Michigan portion of the bracket. I mean, Iowa State is in there too. That's a heck of a run.
It's chaotic. It is chaotic. I feel good, if we take care of business tomorrow, I feel good. Just assuming that Virginia would be there, I think we match up well with them. I think it would be a good game. Physicality, That would definitely be a physical game with the way that Virginia plays. Both of our paces of play pretty slow. Mm-hmm. So that would just be a barn burner and last man standing to win that one. But you got to take care of business against Miami of Ohio tomorrow.
Yeah, a lot of games have already taken place. A couple of games happening right now as well in the NCAA tournament. Siena, how about this? They've extended their lead to start the second half. They're up by 13 on Duke.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
30 seconds in to the second half. Vanderbilt and McNeese are at the half as well. Vanderbilt leading by three. Our guy Brody Thomas of Winter Timber Outdoors, he's a general manager over there. For folks who have not checked that place out, you need to do so. Even if you're not the outdoors person or the hunter in your family, you know you've got some in the family. Go check it out. Go see these folks. They have everything you could possibly need for being outdoors, whether it's relaxing or casual, or whether you're, you know, up in a deer stand and trying to, you know, take something home with you. You guys just have a little bit of everything. And since you opened up, what is it, about 8 months ago?
April 9th will be 8 months already.
8 months. Somehow. How about that? Yes. I mean, and you guys have expanded. It seems like every month, every time I walk in there, there's something new that I didn't see the previous time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We try to stay on top of, you know, new products, new trends. I wish my building was about 10,000 square feet bigger than what it is. Unfortunately, we built as big as we could. So we're still
just go double
gills.
Decker, man.
Yes. That's the thing. We can't go out, but I think we can go up. There's a lot of restrictions being right there beside a Walmart. So it's a lot of funky stuff going on. But yeah, we're packed to the gills. We're getting new stuff in every week. You know, like you were saying, even if you're not a hunter, when it comes to our apparel section, I mean, we have all of your favorite brands, you know, with spring coming up for just, you know, outdoor use, out on the boat. You know, we've got several different types of swimsuits and polos and just nice button downs for church, big selection of flip flops, a complete line of On Cloud tennis shoes.
Yeah.
So like I said, you know, we're yes, we are a hunting store, but we also offer something for everyone.
Yeah, and several things going on right now, including the turkey contest. Hopefully people have heard all about that. Tell the people what they need to know in terms of the Winter Timber Outdoors turkey contest.
Yes, so starting March 25th, which will be next Wednesday when season opens down here in our zone, if you happen to harvest a turkey, all you got to do is bring it by the store, and we have a scoring station where we can get all the measurements and weights, all that good stuff, and it doesn't cost you anything to enter. Basically, you come by the store, we score it for you. That's your entry right there, and I believe first place is $250 in a Winter Timber outdoor gift card, and then nice. I think we're paying out the top five places, but yeah, first will be $250. So yeah, it doesn't cost you anything to enter. You can bring multiple birds by. That's fine with us. We will score all of them for you. And yeah, it's just something cool for everyone to participate in. Like I said, it doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah.
Other than driving over, we don't obligate you to come in and, you know, make a purchase to be able to be entered. All you have to do is bring us the turkey by, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, it was news to me that there was different turkey seasons for different zones of the state.
Yeah,
that was news to me.
It used to be a lot simpler. It used to be March 15th, the state opened, and it went through, I think, April 30th was what the original dates were. Now that there's a lot more research and stuff going on, they've broken it down into different zones, which means that some zones, like our store up in Athens, Alabama, their zone doesn't open until a week after we do. So there are...
Why do they do that? I'm sure there's a reason.
So they look at the terrain, they look at populations,
okay.
They look at the peak breeding times. So there are a lot of factors that go into it to determine what's going to be the best to sustain a turkey population and also be great for the hunter. And so now they've broken it up. Deer season's the same way. Used to be most everybody was on the same opening and closing dates, but now you've got different areas that open at different times.
Got you. Okay, yep. So again, that starts next week on the 25th, right?
25th,
here in Auburn. Again, that's the Winter Timber Outdoors Turkey Contest. And by the way, the fact that you guys, again, have not even been open for 8 months and you're already doing giveaways and contests and things like that, I think that's incredible. I really do. I mean, there's not many people that would, in businesses, that would branch out and do things like that. They would kind of just stay low and get comfortable and do what they need to do. You guys said, to heck with that. You're just, and this is not the first type of thing you've done. Again, a big event coming up this weekend that we're going to promote in just a moment. But the fact that, again, 8 months in or less than, and you're already doing cool contests like that, I think that's super awesome.
Yeah, and you know, it's just one way to give back to the customer, you know, show a way of, I guess, our appreciation for being able to earn folks' business and for them to trust us, you know, whether it be a firearm purchase or knives, you know, because some of the stuff in our store, you know, it's pretty expensive. So it's mm-hmm. it's an investment that folks don't take lightly. So we want to make sure that we give you the best customer experience. And then, you know, these contests and giveaways is just one way for us to give back to our customers.
And your staff is so friendly, so knowledgeable. They're, it's impossible to walk in or walk around and somebody not ask you if you're doing okay. It's the you know, the Sunday chicken place that we don't give free pub to. But it's that place, the My Pleasure place, for the hunting tour.
Exactly.
That's what it is.
Yeah. And he was joking, but a customer came in last week, and by the time he had made it back to where I was working at the time, you know, I just asked him if they need some help. He's like, you know, we could get a lot more shopping done if y'all would quit asking us if we were okay. Of course, he was just joking in a nice way.
Right.
But yes, we want to make sure every and we may talk to you a little too much, but
kill them with kindness.
Yes, we want to make sure that everybody is taken care of, because a lot of the products we carry, you know, there's several variations and models and colors, and you know, there's a lot of questions that we can answer for you. So we want to make sure that everybody's taken care of.
Brody Thomas, the general manager of Winter Timber Outdoors here in Auburn. You can visit them. They're across from the mall, next to the neighborhood market, just off of Opelika Road. They've got all sorts of stuff going on. The turkey contest, plus a big tent sale going on this weekend. We're going to talk about that. Plus, we'll give you updates from the NCAA tournament. Get a dark horse pick or two from Brody out of his bracket that he claims is perfect, but I haven't seen it, so I can't confirm. All that coming up here in hour number two on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
This is Coach Larry Vickers, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on ESPN 106.7 and giving you some updates from the NCAA tournament. A reminder that we will be talking to Chris Gordy, the host of Locked On SEC. He'll be joining us coming up in about 10 minutes or so, as we do every single Thursday. Duke has come alive in the second half. Siena was up by 11, okay, at the half. They extended it to 13. It's now down to 6. Here comes Duke. They've outscored them 9-4 in the first 4.5 minutes of the game. We'll keep you updated there. Vanderbilt still with that 3-point lead over McNeese. They're about to get the second half started here in the next 4 or 5 minutes. Michigan State and North Dakota State are going to go at it. The 3-seed Michigan State, 14-seed North Dakota State, that up in Buffalo. And then later on, Hawaii and Arkansas are going to do battle as well. We got Brody Thomas, the general manager of Winter Timber Outdoors here in Auburn. Great partner with us on ESPN, on the Auburn High Sports Network, and our East Alabama Living Magazine. They are so good to us. And we appreciate them. I need a team that you have in your bracket that hasn't already played yet, but maybe someone that's going far, dark horse, or you know, an underdog or something. Who you got in your bracket that you feel is going to go far, Brody?
I mean, the first round game is, you know, it's one of those 8-9s, but I do have St. Louis beating Georgia.
Okay,
and I've actually got them running to the Sweet 16.
Wow.
Same with Texas. As an 11 seed.
I had Texas winning too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I've got them running to the Sweet 16 as well. And I had one more as I scroll my bracket.
You have St. Louis upsetting Michigan in the round of 32 then?
Yes, I do.
Wow.
I do.
How about that? The injuries coming back to bite Michigan.
I do.
Huh?
Okay. 100%.
Wow.
And then I've got Texas A&M in the first round. Beating St. Mary's, but then I have them getting beat by Houston.
Yeah, so. That Houston team is just, they're gritty, man. They're really good. I would like to see Kelvin Sampson make a run. I know his time is coming to a close there eventually. His son, of course, will take over as the head coach of Houston at some point. But, yeah, there's just a lot of teams out there that could make a run. Again, your Tennessee Volunteers have Miami of Ohio tomorrow. I think they can make a run. Alabama's got a bunch of drama going on. Seems like Aiden Holloway will not be a part of that team moving forward, and for good reasons, of course, or bad reasons, however you look at it. You've got a bunch of other games coming up here in the next several hours and several days, of course. And here on ESPN 106.7, we are going to have full second-round coverage on Saturday and Sunday all weekend long. So be sure if you're out driving around, you're tuned in right here on ESPN 106.7. Also, tomorrow, Brody, don't know if you've heard this. Would love to see you out there if possible. We're going to be live on location tomorrow at the Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge. I know you know where that is. We're going to be out there all day tomorrow. The Max Roundtable on the line and the drive. 7 straight hours of tournament coverage to tip off the tourney once again this season. Brought to you by Sensa Green Heating, Cooling, and Insulation. Going to be a ton of fun out there. We'll be on the Plaza patio getting ready and promoting all the things going on and watching all sorts of basketball. So it's going to be a ton of fun out there on location tomorrow.
Yeah, with us getting ready for our big event this weekend, I'll probably need to step away and come join y'all at Plaza for a few tomorrow.
Well, hey, speaking of that event, you got a tent sale going on at Winter Timber Outdoors.
Yeah, so we're advertising it for Saturday. That's going to be the main day. But I've already started rolling out a ton of apparel. I mean, we've got Sitka camo. We've got all of our main Southern Point, Marshwear. We've got Decoy, all of our main brands. We're going to have discounted deeply up to 60-70% off. Most of it won't be any lower than 40%. So it's a great time to, stock up for next fall. I mean, but there's a lot of stuff that's great for spring. A lot of turkey camo and then polos and swim trunks, shorts, all kinds of stuff. So on the apparel side, we have a lot that we're trying to move to make room for new spring stuff that's coming in. So like I said, a lot of that's if you happen to come by the store this afternoon or tomorrow, a lot of that is already marked down in the store. You will see that on sale already. And then we'll have some great deals on some of the turkey stuff getting ready for next week with opening day fastly approaching. We'll have several of our brands of calls that we carry, we'll have special deals on those. We're going to be giving away some turkey camos, some turkey vests. We've got a retail shotgun that we're giving away, and then some other deals that we're still finalizing before Saturday. But yeah, it should be a fun time. Weather looks great. So come on out. Like I said, save yourself some money and stock up to get ready for turkey season.
Yeah, and that's the tent sale again at Winter Timber Outdoors. Is that going to be out in the front parking lot just as
yeah, so,
as much
so we'll
as
have
can?
Some of it. Good thing with our building. And we've got that large front porch, and so we'll be able to put a lot under there. I'll have a cashier out there that'll be able to take care of you.
Nice.
Right there on the front porch. You don't have to walk around with stuff in your hands coming in and out of the store. We can take care of you right there. And then, like I said, within the store, some of our call makers, the brands that we carry, some of them will be at the store,
cool.
Showing off some of their product that we carry in the store. Good giveaways, like I said, some turkey vests and stuff. You know, they cost $150 up to $250 bucks that will be given away. Like I said, I know for sure one shotgun. There could be more. Still working on some of those details. But yeah, like and outside of the apparel and turkey stuff, we got a lot of knives and just accessories that we're trying to get rid of to make room for new stuff coming in. So it's a great way to save yourself some money and come out and hang out with us and get ready for turkey season and the spring season coming up.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's a store in the state of Alabama that has a bigger knife selection than you guys have. I mean,
I don't disagree with you.
A fourth of your store mm-hmm. is literally knives along the whole left-hand wall.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that. When they think a hunting store, you think you've got some knives in there. But we actually have St. Nick's Knives, which our owner, his father, started as its own standalone business. It is now incorporated into Winter Timber Outdoors. So, yes, when it comes to knives, we have you covered.
And everything is online as well. Check them out, wintertimberoutdoors.com. So if you want to search a little bit before checking out the store, you can certainly do so. But a tent sale going on. Again, check them out, Winter Timber Outdoors. They're up there just off of Opelika Road, next to the neighborhood Walmart across from the mall. He is Brody Thomas, the general manager of Winter Timber Outdoors. My man, it's great to see you. Good. As much as it pains me, good luck to your Vols in the tournament.
Well,
okay?
I sure do appreciate that. And on the flip side, I'm looking forward to to Auburn, hopefully getting that series win against Texas on the diamond this weekend.
Oh, I thought you were going nasty. You actually said something
nice. No, I stayed away from the NIT tournament.
My God, that's why Brody's the best in the business, man. We appreciate you stopping by, as always. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Our man Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, he joins us right after this.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Appreciate you being with us. A gorgeous day here in Auburn, Alabama. The winter weather is gone. It's going to be in the 80s this weekend. Perfect for SEC baseball at Plainsman Park. We're going to talk about that, plus SEC basketball and everything else going around the conference with our guy Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, one of our longest running guests here on the show. Chris, it's great to talk to you. We appreciate you taking the time away from a TV or four to watch SEC basketball in the NCAA tournament, and hope everything is good in your world.
Yeah, I mean, everything you mentioned there. Don't forget to bring up, of course, Auburn men's basketball's NIT run. I mean, this could be an epic run for Stephen Pearl.
I purposely left that out, Chris, thinking that you would probably bring it up at some point.
Hey, man, get those T-shirts ready. NIT champs.
Oh, God. It was bad enough I had to see the logo on the floor. I do not want it to be on a T-shirt hanging in my closet somewhere.
Well, and I mean, you know, maybe if Keyshawn wants to show up for the next round, I'm sure he's invited. Anybody's invited.
Anybody is invited in the not interested tournament, the not invited tournament, whatever, you know, term you want to use on that. But in the tournament that people are watching, and the one that does matter, is the NCAA tournament, where the SEC is finally off and running. It took a couple of games for the Southeastern Conference to be on the schedule, but Vanderbilt has opened up a 10-point lead over McNeese. Arkansas opens up a 9-0 run to start the game against Hawaii. Your thoughts on those two teams in particular, and then the conglomerate of Southeastern Conference team in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I mean, a good start for Vanderbilt so far. Let's see if they can hang on to this double-digit lead against McNeese. And yeah, I didn't think Arkansas would struggle with Hawaii at all. Again, it's super early in that one, but you know, the ones tonight really intrigue me. I mean, I think Texas has a great chance to hang with BYU. Sean Miller is a guy who, you know, knows a thing or two about coaching in the postseason. And, yeah, I talked to a friend of mine who covers BYU, said, hey, man, they're banged up. You know, we'll see how healthy they are tonight. So, not calling for the upset, but, I mean, BYU is only a 2.5-point favorite. Texas has a chance in that one. Hmm. You know, same thing with Texas A&M tonight against St. Mary's, classic 10 versus 7 seed. I've heard a lot of people are picking A&M in that upset. Now, if you remember, A&M, with Bucky Ball, they were red hot to start SEC play, and then they kind of fell apart down the stretch because their schedule got a lot tougher playing all the tougher teams in the SEC. But that said, I mean, A&M still got the inside presence, the physicalness that they can hang with the St. Mary's. And if they can hit some outside shots, wouldn't shock me at all. Again, St. Mary's is just a 2.5-point favorite in that one. And then, you know, Georgia's a 2.5-point favorite against St. Louis, but everybody I've talked to is taking St. Louis in that upset. Again, a classic 9-over-8 seed upset. So, yeah, I mean, if I'm picking tonight, if I was putting some money on it, I might throw a couple bucks on Texas over BYU, A&M over St. Mary's, and I might take St. Louis to upset Georgia tonight.
And then you look at tomorrow, the SEC teams in action, Kentucky against Santa Clara. I've said several times, Chris, I don't believe in that Santa Clara team. I don't think they're all that great. If that was anybody better, I would pick that team to beat Kentucky because I just don't trust the Cats. You also have Alabama against Hofstra with all the off-court drama they've got going on. Tennessee has to play the red-hot Miami of Ohio squad and some others in there. Florida plays tomorrow night. Missouri against Miami as well. Your thoughts on those games and teams tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, Kentucky is ripe for the picking, man. I mean, my wife is a Kentucky grad. She was joking with me earlier. She was like, well, Calipari's not coaching us anymore, so we should win our first-round games. But, you know, Santa Clara is a dangerous team. And if you've paid attention to Kentucky the last month, I mean, just inconsistent. Lost at Florida, lost to Georgia, lost at Auburn, you know, a game they had no business losing, you know, lost at A&M, and then lost two more times to Florida. They've just, they've been a very inconsistent team for the past month. And so, look, Otega Owe, Denzel Aberdeen, Mark Pope, like, they're talented enough, they should beat Santa Clara, but wouldn't shock me at all if they lose that one. Yeah, Bama will beat Hofstra, Florida will beat Prairie View A&M. Missouri over Miami is one I've had a lot of people picking, saying, oh, that could be, you know, again, another 10-7 upset. But the Miami of Ohio one really intrigues me, man. That team that was undefeated throughout the season, lost in their conference tournament, but looked pretty damn good the other night in their play-in game. And I worry about Tennessee. This is a Tennessee team that, you know, as good as Nate Emmett has been, he's been banged up lately. And, you know, we're so used to Rick Barnes teams playing dominant defense. And they've been good defensively, but they've been inconsistent at times. And Jacoby Gillespie's been that guy who's been able to hit that outside shot for him and knock down those big threes. If he has an off night, and they're not as good defensively, man, Miami of Ohio, what a story it would be to knock off Tennessee in the first round. So I saw the Vegas odds have Tennessee around an 11.5-point favorite.
Right.
Like, God, it feels like a lot of points in that one.
Yeah, I mean, I talked earlier about Tennessee trying to get over the hump with Rick Barnes, right? They're always there, always competitive, just can't seem to get to the promised land. And I don't think this is the Tennessee team with the expectations of a Final Four, but given the draw that they have in the tournament, I think it's very possible.
Well, I mean, in all honesty, there should never be a Tennessee team ever expecting a Final Four because they've never been there. you know, as Auburn was just there a year ago, Tennessee has never been there. So, I don't know, man. It feels like Rick Barnes, he's getting up there in age. I don't know how many more years he's got left. If he's going to do it, he better do it soon because, it may just be something that the Tennessee Volunteers never experienced.
He's the host of the Locked On SEC podcast. Our guy Chris Gordy is with us on the phone lines. And as much fun as basketball is right now in the NCAA tournament, SEC baseball is just as good, if not better. A couple of series actually get started tonight. Oklahoma, a top 10 team in the nation, heads to Baton Rouge to take on a struggling LSU team. Kentucky, fresh off the sweep against Alabama, heads to Oxford to take on Ole Miss. And then a flurry of great series over the weekend, but none bigger than the one you know about, Chris. Texas and Auburn, the Longhorns and the Tigers in the highest-ranked matchup in the history of Plainsman Park.
Oh, I love it, man. This is going to be a hell of a matchup. I think I said to you guys preseason, I said, I like this Auburn team.
Yeah.
And I was buying into them just because of the pitching with Jake Marciano and company. And man, they have been so damn impressive so far. It's been so fun to watch this Auburn team. And, you know, even to win the midweek game against a really good Georgia Tech team, I think that sends a message. And, you know, look at the runs. You know, you score, you know, pitching was at a premium in the Friday-Saturday games, but then they're up for 9 runs on Sunday, or the second game against Mizzou on Saturday for 9 runs, and then the 9 runs against Georgia Tech the other night. This Auburn lineup seems to be coming around, and the offense is catching up with the pitching. This is going to be a hell of a series. Now, don't get it wrong. Texas is legit. I mean, they are as good as anybody, and they're probably the best team in the SEC, right? I mean, they just took their first 2 losses of the season. The Friday night game against Ole Miss, they should have won that game. I mean, Ole Miss had a grand slam late to get back in it. And then they lost the midweek game to Tarleton, which – whatever, midweek games are midweek games. But, this is a damn good Texas team led by Ryojur Rojas, their ace of that staff. But Dylan Volantis is a guy who's been really good for them out of the bullpen and converting as a starter this year. So, this is going to be a really, really good series to tell where Auburn is. And if they can take 2 out of 3 this weekend – man, do you send a message across the SEC that Auburn is absolutely one of the 4 best teams in this conference.
I mean, at this point, Chris, we've said this. Would you agree that these are the 2 best pitching staffs in the nation going into this weekend between Auburn and Texas?
It feels that way. It feels that way. I mean, you know, Jackson Sanders, I didn't mention his name. I mean, Auburn has been outstanding pitching-wise so far. And again, this is the ultimate test, going up against a Texas team that's got some really, really good bats. So some veteran bats in that lineup. So if they can do that again this weekend, Petrovic and company, I mean, they are they can establish themselves absolutely as hands down one of the best teams in the SEC.
Your thoughts on, again, LSU has kind of struggled out of the gate. Alabama got swept by Kentucky. I don't know if that says more about the Cats or more about Alabama. South Carolina continues to just be a head-scratcher in the SEC and a couple of other of SEC teams around the college baseball.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued by LSU. I mean, they're the reigning national champs, and you know they should have won the Friday game against Vanderbilt. They had a lead in the ninth inning, they blew it, and they really should have come out of Vandy with winning two out of three. Instead, they come out losing two out of three. They come back home for these next 2 weekends against two teams that are way better than anybody thought they would be: Oklahoma and Kentucky. They were not expected to be great teams in the SEC this year, and yet Oklahoma sit at number 8 in the country. Kentucky sit at number 15 in the country. Their pitching's been outstanding. So, LSU has to take 2 out of 3 against these next two, because if you go look at 3 out of their next 4 series after that, are all on the road. On the road at Tennessee, on the road at Ole Miss, home for A&M, and on the road at Mississippi State.
Golly.
I mean, that is as brutal of a four-series stretch as it gets. And if LSU loses either these series, Oklahoma or Kentucky, man, they are digging themselves a monster hole, and I don't think they'll get out of it. So, big weekend for them to show their dominance over Oklahoma and settle in. But, you know, Mississippi State's been super impressive so far. Arkansas looks like they're going to be dominant. Georgia has been their offense has been so awesome. Daniel Jackson and company, they can score runs and crush home runs with the best of them. So, yeah, man. I mean, newsflash, the SEC is loaded once again, and there's no off week in this conference.
Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, our longtime Thursday guest at 3:30 here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins with you. No Christian Griffin. He is over at Lee Scott getting ready for some high school baseball. Chris, I just want to make sure that you saw the breaking news, the meteor that was coming towards Auburn, because Byron Brown's throwing motion wasn't what the couch coaches said it should be. Did you see that? Is he okay? Can you give me your professional analysis of the throwing motion of Byron Brown?
Yeah, we did a show on it the other day on Locked On SEC, and I mean, I said it's much ado about nothing. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. If this was a young quarterback that had never started before or never played significant minutes, maybe it was a cause for concern. But Byron Brown's got all the skins on the wall, and as somebody said, like, I don't care how he delivers it. I don't care if he throws it between his legs. Does the ball get there? Does he complete the passes? I mean, that's what's most important. And even more so that he's throwing to guys that he's thrown to the last few years at USF. It's not like he's trying to develop with new guys who've never caught passes with him before. So, yeah, we had some fun with it. But to me, it's much ado about nothing. Like somebody said, if it gets to the receiver, he could punt the ball down the field for all I care. That's all that matters.
Do we know, and you would probably know better than I do, are all SEC teams underway for spring practice? I know there's a couple of like Big Ten teams and things that are not underway just yet, but are all 16 SEC squads into spring practice now?
No. LSU gets started next Tuesday. I believe Ole Miss is next week as well. I've got my cheat sheet somewhere. I can't find it, but no, there are a handful of teams who still have not started their spring practice yet. It's funny because Mizzou is about to wrap theirs up because they got started back in February before anybody else. And you know, they make the news today announcing Austin Simmons as their starter. So Eli Drinkwitz, going out of his way to already announce a starter, which is something that he typically doesn't do. So, everything's a little bit staggered right now, but next week will be LSU, Texas A&M get started, I think, tomorrow, and Ole Miss next week as well.
I don't remember it being this staggered, and I was about to ask why, but I think I answered my own question. I assume this is because of no spring portal window. Is that right? This is why everybody can kind of do it on their own time and not have to worry about buckling down for the transfer portal?
Yeah, and you get X amount of practices, so I think it's a lot of teams trying to move it to around their spring. Everybody's got a different spring break,
Yeah, that's true.
That's just funny. I remember when I was a student at LSU, every year our spring break coincided with Vanderbilt. I remember being on the beaches at Gulf Shores one year, and Jay Cutler and Vanderbilt were out there doing keg stands.
So, nice.
You know, it's just kind of funny that everybody's on different clocks when it comes to spring break. But, like, the whole reason Eli Drinkwitz and Mizzou do it so early is Drink wants to get all their practices in before their spring break. He wants their guys to go have a legit break. So, it's just kind of interesting. And there's a few squads that aren't doing spring games this year. Mizzou's not doing one. Ole Miss is not doing one. So, it's just kind of skewed around. But, yeah, I mean, most of the spring games are going to be happening either on that April 11th or April 18th weekend.
Yeah, well, excited to talk to you over the next several weeks once everybody is through and we actually get a legitimate storyline or two and hopefully no injuries, but we know how football works and starting quarterbacks and position battles and things like that. Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast. He's with us every single Thursday here on ESPN 106.7. Chris, we greatly appreciate your time. Plug it all. Tell the people how they can find what you got going on.
Yeah, Locked On SEC, wherever you get your podcasts. And, hey, Jacob, just a warning, man. If you're Seattle U, you don't just walk into Auburn and walk out with a win. I mean, the Seattle U Redhawks, you kidding me? This is going to be the toughest challenge they face all season long.
Tell me two players on the Seattle University basketball team, Chris.
Braden Maldonado and Will Heimbroek.
Do you have that printed out or something so you can use it on a show tomorrow?
I was ready.
Chris, we appreciate it, man. Enjoy the rest of the games for the NCAA tournament this weekend. We'll do it again next Thursday.
All right, fellas. Peace.
Appreciate it. Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC, wherever you get your podcast and on YouTube as well. And I have bad news to deliver for college basketball fans. Siena has blown it. Duke has come back. They've taken a 2-point lead at the under 4 timeout, 63-61. Hopefully we can see the conclusion as we go off the air. Other games going on right now as well. Michigan State dominating North Dakota State. Arkansas all over Hawaii in the first half of that one. And Vanderbilt and McNeese in a good one at the under 12 timeout as well. We'll take our final break, come back and wrap up the Thursday edition of On the Line.
Hey, this is your resident Super Bowl champ, Chris Canning from Unsportsmanlike, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Been a great show today, man. We've had a ton of fun. It's always a fun ride and magical when the NCAA tournament gets underway, and there's been so many good games. Our Saints of Siena are slowly slipping away from Duke. 64-61, Blue Devils 3:41 to play. Another free throw trying to extend it to a 2-possession lead, and they do. Siena's got to get a bucket here down the stretch, but it's been an awesome show. If you've missed any of it, be sure to go back and catch up with the podcast version of the show. You'll find it on our station website at ESPNAU.com. Okay, find it in the podcast center. You'll also find it on the Radio Alabama app as well in the podcast center. So be sure to check that out. We talked to Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network in hour number one. Talked to him about a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football, and a whole lot of baseball as Auburn and Texas get underway tomorrow at Plainsman Park. Also had our guy Brody Thomas, the general manager of Winter Timber Outdoors. He joined us in the studio from 3 to 3:30, talked the NCAA tournament, talked about his Tennessee Volunteers. He said they're making a run, they're winning it all. He put the house on, is what he told me. So talk to him about that, plus the great things they have going on with their turkey contest that opens up next Tuesday and their tent sale going on this weekend. So be sure you go and check that out at Winter Timber Outdoors up there next to the neighborhood Walmart here in Auburn, just off of Opelika Road across from the mall. Then we just got off the phone with Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast. Got his thoughts on pretty much every team in the NCAA tournament from the Southeastern Conference, and he's a big fan of Auburn baseball right now and what the Tigers are doing with their matchup against Texas. So all of that was on the show today. And, man, we're excited for tomorrow. We're going to be live at the Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge in Midtown tomorrow. 7 straight hours to tip off the tourney for day two. We're going to be there, and it's brought to you by Sensigreen Heating, Cooling, and Insulation. The Max Roundtable starts at 11 a.m. We take over at 2. The drive will follow from 4 to 6, so be sure to come out and hang out with us. We've got giveaways from us, giveaways from Sensigreen, drink specials, and great food at Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge. Okay, and again, it's brought to you by Sensigreen Heating, Cooling, and Insulation. For air that's cool and clean, get HVAC smart and call Sensigreen. We will see you tomorrow on the Plaza Patio at Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge to tip off the tourney. We'll talk about the rest of the games from today. We'll talk about the games tomorrow. Tennessee will be playing tomorrow. Alabama will be playing tomorrow. Auburn will be playing on Sunday in the NIT. So we'll talk about that if we have time. But, man, we're going to have so much fun. So please come out tomorrow. Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge. It's brought to you by Sensigreen Heating, Cooling, and Insulation. Also, go check out Lee Scott Academy Baseball on Tiger Country 104.5. We'll see you tomorrow here on ESPN 106.7. For my broadcast partner, Christian Griffin, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.